The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.
Cool, that takes me back. Not just back to the 1970s, but also 9 years ago at 10 o'clock, we actually kicked off with that particular tune. Myself and Martin Bully Ball kicked off, and we're nine today, incredibly. So there we are, we're celebrating. We thought, will we get a special guest in for the day? And we have. We've got Jonathan in from Multi Award-winning PC Consultants. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Now, we've got lots to talk about between now and 1 o'clock. We'll play a few tunes as well, but how many years have you been going now?
This is our 26th year, so we celebrated 25 years last year.
Which is incredible. So we're just sort of saying, while we were listening to Thin Lizzy, we were just sort of saying, you must have seen some changes, and boy, have you.
Definitely, the IT industry, computers in general, is just such a progressive industry, just the rate of change is ongoing, so yeah. I know we were just talking briefly about internet speeds, weren't we? It's one of the main things that's huge change over the years.
Well, you mentioned that 512 thing, and I thought, yeah, would that have been you dial up and you get all those noises on your phone?
No, that would have been before then. So dial up would have been like your 28K modem, your 56K modem. Yeah. So that would have been your dial up. So when I joined PC Consultants in 2001, we had access to ISDN internet, which would have been 64K.
Right.
And now we've got access to 1 gig internet, 1,000 megabits per second, so 10,000 times quicker than the speeds we would have had back
Grief.
Then.
I mean, it's incredible where we've been, but it's probably even more incredible where we're going. And at some point, we'll talk about that, where we think we're going. Hopefully, this is going to be a foundation for the future. You're going to come in and talk about all sorts of things. We're talking about scams. I tell you what, listener, I am not easily, how can I put it? When somebody shows me something, I think, yeah, 9 times out of 10, I've seen it before. But I've just seen something with my own eyes. Stay tuned, because it will shock the hell out of you, and you need to be aware of it. Is that true? We need to be aware of it?
Yeah, it's just one of the, scams is the big thing at the moment, being cyber security, cyber threats, and just how people, having an access and understanding what's going on, you're prepared to identify these threats when they come in.
Okay, we tease people with that. You need to stay tuned just for that alone today.
Okay.
Tell us a bit more about PC Consultants.
So, say we've been going over 25 years now. We have a team of 20 support staff here, all based on the Isle of Wight. Our head office over in Ryde, and we provide primarily business-to-business IT, sales, support, consultancy to customers across the Isle of Wight, also nationally and internationally.
Do you work at the council? Do you ever go over there? Because my wife comes home every day and she tells me about the IT problems over there. I'm thinking, oh, somebody go in there and sort that out and make your life a lot easier and mine a lot easier as well.
Yeah, I can't really comment too much on that because my wife works for the council in IT. But yes.
She'll know then.
Yeah.
She'll know. No, that's not me having a dig at the council, by the way. I was just thinking, it'll make their life a lot easier over there. You must be tempted to turn up there one day and just sort of say, hey, look, I can help.
I'd say we're busy enough with what we're doing.
Yeah.
On a day-to-day.
Okay, he says with a great big smile on his face, which is great. It's great that you're busy, because I would imagine if you're worth your salt, which you genuinely are, I mean, in this day and age, with technology changing so much, people like you are so important.
Yeah, and I say it's important to keep, it's not, you can't just stop. You've got to keep on expanding your knowledge. You know, we benefit from having a large team. I think we topped it up as like 400 years of combined professional IT experience within the team. And that knowledge and expertise is what we use to benefit all of our customers, where it's small business, individuals that come into our workshop, or larger organisations that we work with.
So why should we call you? You know, when we get an issue, we get a problem, why should we call you?
Because we're available, because we benefit ourselves by having a large team, it means that when you have a problem, we're available to sort that. So if you take businesses, you know, tend to use IT as a tool. It's sat there in the background, you're using a computer, and you've got your own business, you're concentrating on what you're meant to be doing. So when IT is working, it's supporting you, great. But when there's an issue, that's when you need it sorted out as quick as possible. And that's why we pride ourselves on having very good preventative support for customers, but also having that reactive element. So when there's a problem, you can pick up the phone, drop an email, contact us, and there is an engineer available local to you to sort it out as quick as possible.
And when should we call you? Just say, for instance, we've got, you know, I look at our system and I think, I don't know, we've been going 9 years. I don't know how we've got through without having, I mean, we do have advice from a person that's on the mainland with your FTP sites and things like that. And it just starts to get complicated. Sometimes that doesn't talk to that and so on. You know, and I'm thinking, maybe we should get an expert in so we don't get quite so stressed. But I'm guessing that's when we call people, isn't it?
Yeah,
like
yourself. Let's say, in our role as consultants, that's a lot of what we do. We would go into a business and do an initial free audit of a company's IT systems and just see, yeah, what have you got at the moment? What could you be doing differently? Are there any areas that might be possible to improve on? And that's, yeah, where we use our experience, I guess, across a cross-section of customers to benefit people that we look after.
Okay, every now and again, I'm going to chuck a curveball at you.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to put you under pressure. You ready with your question? Because this will get you. This will get you.
Okay.
Go on, ask the killer question. Oh, hang on, I better put your microphone up.
Is there any keyboard that would help me because I have dyscalculia?
That is a curveball. Not sure.
Failed on that one. Look at him looking all smug there over there. Look. Well, no, you haven't failed because you get the chance to come back and say. I mean, it's a curveball. But what we've noticed is that, and I don't know too much about it, you know, Oscar has dyscalculia.
Yeah.
And it's to do with numbers and letters and things. And we've noticed that he kind of struggles a little bit on a keyboard. I'm just thinking, how many different keyboards are there available to people? I know that there's gaming keyboards and so on and so forth. So is there anything? See, I now know that it's whirring away there. And you're thinking, I can take this away and I can find something. So will you come back?
Yes, come back.
Because that was obviously a massive curveball.
Yes, hopefully others are not as curved as that.
There even be anything available, but we just wanted to know because obviously, you know, one thing that we've learnt in the last little while is that there's an awful lot of people with an awful lot of things that are different and so on, and they need to work with different things. I'm going to chuck one at you as well. You'll know the answer to this one, but you'll be able to help me.
Hopefully.
At home I've got a Mac and a Microsoft computer for obvious reasons that are obvious to me. It's down to do with music and so on and so forth. Is there a mouse that can go from that PC and that screen to the other screen and PC or Mac?
What, as in use your same mouse and keyboard on both?
Yeah.
So a USB mouse and a USB keyboard will work on a Mac and will work on a PC. You can just
plug
it.
At the same time. So I can just go from one to the other, swishing away from one to the other.
I've seen software. We saw it at a customer that we went into where they had like a development environment. So they had PCs on the left and they had it was two PCs, but essentially they were two physical computers. And it was quite clever how they had it, where he could move his mouse from the right-hand screen to the left-hand screen.
Yeah.
And it would essentially be moving across two different individual PCs.
Yeah.
So it could be possible, I don't know for sure, but maybe do that with a Mac and a PC and have a way to, so not just multi-monitor, because that's just having two monitors on one PC.
Yeah.
This is actually having two independent computers.
Yeah.
And you could do one task on one and a completely separate task on the other, but just control it with a single keyboard and mouse. You can get like KVM, you know, keyboard video mount monitor switches, but this was much more advanced than that. It was really seamless. He could move the mouse from one screen to the other and somehow it was communicating with both devices.
What would that be called? So I know.
I can't remember.
Yeah, okay. We'll come back to that. Sorry for the curveballs, but you came out of that one very well because I'm hoping I can do that. My wife said to me, she said, "Who have you got in today?" And I said, "Oh, we've got Jonathan from PC Consultants." She said, "You make sure you make friends with him. You make sure you make good. You get him round for a cup of tea and stuff, and he can have a look at our equipment and so on." Have you got another question there, Oscar?
Yeah. What is the best computer out there?
The best computer out there? Well, depends on what you're looking to do with it. If it's like a desktop computer for what you'd be using in the office, there's lots of different, you know, we tend to use Intel-based machines in our environment and our customers, but it really depends on what you define as a computer, what you're going to be using it for. You can do a lot with tablets these days, with iPads. I know a member of our team in the office has just got himself an iPad Pro, and he's using that primarily as his device instead of a laptop. He was using a Mac laptop before, and it just works really well. So, you know, best is probably depends on what sort of device you're talking about and what application the person is going to be using. You know, I guess it's the best tool at the time for what you need. If you're a gamer, we were proud to be involved with the inaugural Pop Goes the Culture event at the weekend down at Cowes Enterprise College, CGICon, and that was more of a gaming-focused event for recreation. So we had one of our team members who brought down his very nice, fancy gaming PC with his 2080 Ti graphics card, his Intel Core i9 processor in there, and he was sat there with his ray tracing doing all sorts of fancy stuff. So it very different to what you'd need if you were doing office tasks and writing spreadsheets or looking at numbers and so on. So it depends on what computer. It's a very general question.
Have you ever been, you must have been, when was the last time that you went, wow? Because you're in this industry now where everything is changing, everything is moving on at a rate of knots, so much so in the last 10 years. I mean, you say you've been doing this for 25 plus years.
Yes.
And you must have thought the first 10 years were steady, but now it's just gone absolutely crazy, isn't it, with the technology. When was the last time you went, wow, that is something, that's really impressive?
I think it's still constant. We still get quite a few things that you just come along and you think, wow, it's amazing how far technology has come along. And also to see how it translates into more day-to-day, you know, things that previously would have been limited to larger businesses are now accessible for smaller companies. Mm. And sometimes you see that technology and you think, oh, wow, that's amazing what's happening there. And it's really big budget items. And then a few years later, you see that technology being available to the general computer users in a smaller business.
Okay, we'll come back to the technology thing, because there's so many things that, you know, you mentioned iPads, you mentioned all these things, all these contraptions now that are doing all wonderful things. But we didn't ask you what you won your award for.
We won a Chamber of Commerce, our second Chamber of Commerce award, and that was for growth. So we were Growth Business of the Year last year here on the Isle of Wight at the Chamber of Commerce Awards over at Cowes Yachthaven.
Just humour me a bit, because what is, when you say growth, it's not, you know, what is
it? So it was growth. Obviously, we were up against some amazing people who were also shortlisted with us, and it was growth across all sectors. So, you know, we've had some real, you know, we're a 25-year-old business, and it's amazing that we still had growth that over the last 12 months that has been phenomenal, just from a team perspective, additional office space, turnover, all sorts of elements, and that
excellent.
Really contributed to us winning the award, which we're really proud of.
And you were, and congratulations on that.
Thank
you. And how many people you got working for you now?
20 people.
So it's 20. When you first started out, we should mention that, you know, there was a chap that helped you start up, or was the founder member?
So PC Consultants is actually Parsons and Coulson Consultants Limited. So it's named after our two founders, Mike Parsons and Sean Coulson, who in the early days first set up PC Consultants. But as I mentioned before, sadly Mike passed away at the end of last year, and that was a real hit for us all in the team. You know, he'd been with us for many, many years and always been the person in the background supporting a lot of the things we do. So, but no, we're keen to continue Mike's legacy. As a company, we look after lots of different people now, and we have a large team, almost a family of people that work with us, and it's continuing, honour Mike's legacy and what we do for the next 25 years.
Brilliant. So there you are, looking forward to the next 25 years. What's the thing that hasn't happened yet, but you think it will?
Who knows? Teleportation of people. That's what I fancy lit. So.
I'm just thinking Mike TV in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Yep. That to me is beat me up, Scotty, and that's never going to happen, is it?
Who knows?
We don't. That's
technology
the thing.
These days.
I mean, we picked up phones in the last little while, and they read your face and they open and you think, wow, that was like, I'd never ever thought that would happen. And the fact that I was just been talking to a gentleman that's just left. He's 66 years of age, and I was telling him about a new phone that he's going to go and get, and it was he can open it with his fingerprint.
Okay.
And I spent 20 minutes trying to explain how that worked to him, and I thought, no, you just find out for yourself. But he was just blown away by it, because obviously it's a technology thing. That must be the most difficult thing to get people of a certain age, and I don't want to be like ageist, because it must be, in some ways it'd be scary, but in other ways it's just, mind-blowing to get them to come on board with the technology.
But you see that, but, I've got some family friends who are in their 80s, nearly 90, and, they first started using a tablet only a few years ago, and I would have never imagined that they would be able to pick it up. But, they use their little, it's not an iPad, it's just an Android tablet, but they use it, they go on the internet, they watch videos on it, and it just amazes me that they're able to just pick that up and, embrace that technology. and use the internet.
It's a lovely thing, yeah. And my mum is so scared of it, and I say, look, mum, you're giving old people a bad name for themselves, because they're not all like you, like scared of it. I mean, you know, it still blows her mind that she can actually see somebody in Australia,
yes.
You know, and have a conversation with them. I mean, how incredible is that? That is just, it's mind-blowing. Do you give, like, lessons and stuff like that? Do you go around and coach, train people?
We don't. We obviously give instruction to business customers that we work with. We don't have any sort of formal training programs for the general public. But, yeah, it's always something that we'd look to as part of our education piece. We feel it's a responsibility, really, to in the IT sector, all of us, to try and encourage people to use technology in better ways. So it's always something we'd look at.
So how do you like deal with, because you must have your finger on the pulse, you know, if something's changing, you need to know about those changes. How do you do that?
So there's training we go under within our team and making sure we're up to date with qualifications and courses that we can go on to really make sure we get more knowledge. The bulk of our customers are using Microsoft products, so we tend to get a lot of instruction through our being Microsoft partners, so that gives us access to training and resources that we can use there. But a lot of it is just by, you know, I'd say all of the people in our team have a passion for IT, and be that a passion for, you know, using computers on a daily basis, that translates, you want to learn things and you want to keep yourself at the cutting edge, understanding technology and how it can benefit yourself and also benefit customers that you work with.
Okay, over the coming months, we want to set up lots of little podcasts and chats about a variety of different things. And one of I think the most important things is safety and how to protect yourself. And I know you started talking about this earlier on, and then you showed me a scam.
Yes.
Yes, we're coming to that moment, ladies and gentlemen. This will blow your mind. It blew mine. Where you said to me, what did you say to me? You said, I can phone Dale and I can make out that I'm his wife. And I thought, he can do things with his voice. He's going to phone up, and he's got something in his phone that makes him sound like it's a little bit more sinister than that. Do you want to show us what it is? I'd say if we're trying to describe this as best we can.
So just generally, when we're talking about cybercrime, it's all about getting somebody to, you know, social engineering, getting somebody to do something that you want them to do. So if it's sending somebody an email, you want them to click that link and give their bank details or whatever it is. And, you know, in IT space, people craft an email to make it look like it's coming from somebody, and that's how you receive an email that says it's coming from your bank, but it's not actually coming from your bank. And you click the email, you click the link, and before you know it, you've maybe entered your bank details into a fake-looking website, and that's how they've got access. But, you know, not just in the digital space, the literal space. So one of the examples that we use is this idea of spoofing a call. So I'm going to phone Dale, who is next to me, and I'm going to spoof a number.
He's not. He's over here, actually. I've got. I'm looking at his phone now. So Dale's not receiving a phone a call at the moment. You're dialing him on your phone.
Yep.
Over there. And we've got an incoming call from Dale's wife, and there's a picture of Dale's wife as well. It's got the number there as well, so I can. I'll pick. If I'm Dale now, I could pick this up, thinking it was.
Exactly, and it could be, yeah, it's social engineering, whatever you want to do. It might be to say, look, I'm with your wife now, emergency services, for example. Your wife's been in an accident, you need to come home immediately to do this. And it's all about getting somebody to do an action against their will, really.
So just to recap then, you've just pretended to be someone else by not using their phone. You've used your own phone.
Yeah.
How did you do that then?
Just there's an app for it, basically.
There's an app for it. Somebody's okayed this.
Yeah, there is an app for it to allow you to. Yeah.
How scary is that? How can you protect yourself from that though? Because genuinely, you would not know. Just say, for instance, if Dale's picked up that phone, and he's talking to you, and you are pretending to be PC whoever, and you can get him to do absolutely anything within reason, but he would not have any. He wouldn't be thinking this is wrong, this is not right, unless of course he knew his wife was maybe, you know, in Spain or somewhere, yes, like that. But then even more alarm bells would ring, wouldn't they? Hang on, she told me she was in Spain, and now I get it. But so how do you protect yourself against that?
It's just being aware, isn't it? Being aware of the sort of threats that are out there. You know, when we talk about the email threats, that's often what happens when they send in a fake email. This idea of fake CEO fraud, where they will pretend to be the CEO or the managing director of a company. They will often do that when they know the managing director is overseas or out of the country. So they would research it, they'll look at out of office, and then they will send an email saying, oh, hi, person in accounts, I'm away at the moment, can you process this transfer for me because I need to get it done immediately? And it's all that understanding, researching who you're targeting, and then, yeah.
Wow, that is,
what happens.
That's really quite scary.
And unfortunately, you know, we've been called in to review instances where this happens, even on a local level here on the Isle of Wight. It's happening all of the time, and I know the work of the training standards and so on is to try and educate and just bring people more up to speed so they're aware and hopefully don't fall foul to these sort of threats.
Absolutely. I know that there's you've been working with IWASP as well, have you?
Yes, we're looking to, yeah.
And we're sort of partnered up with IWASP, and they do come in from time to time, so maybe the next time they come in we'll invite you in. I think there's a current scam at the moment which is it's just been doing the rounds for so long. It's a TV license one. And you get an email. We had in the news later for today, but so you get an email to say you haven't paid your bill and you need to pay it as soon as possible. And, you know, the basic thing here to remember is that's not how they would contact you. So you can kind of, okay, most people that would know that, or now they do, they can counteract that. But with what you just did on your phone, phoning Dale and pretending to be his wife, that's unforgivable. But it's also like you can't really monitor that, because if you get caught and you're concerned about your wife, I mean, you might be unlucky and sort of think, well, hang on a minute, I don't care, I don't like my wife. But, you know, the chances of that are pretty remote, and, you know, all of a sudden you're in control, aren't you?
They use the same technology to, that's how they send us a text message, or it'll appear to come from your bank. It's all the sort of same thing where you can spoof the origin of a call or an SMS or an email, really, to...
So can you, other than ignore the call and be on your guard, is there a fail safe that there is that you can put in place?
Not against that sort of attack that I'm aware of. Ultimately, it is just being aware and asking the question, not just, you know, we say when it comes to doing, you know, automated payment fraud, sending a bank transfer in the old days, if somebody just wanted to send a payment, they would write a check. And if it was in a business environment, that check would normally need to get countersigned by another person in the organisation.
Yeah.
But these days, it's so easy just to click a mouse, isn't it, and send a payment. So, you know, it's being willing to question things. And when you're not sure, pick up the phone or phone the person back. You know, if that was Dale's wife there, if you phoned her back on the same number, they'd be able to, well, they wouldn't be able to pick up because it would come through to Dale's wife, not me. So it's just having that sort of understanding to just be aware of the sort of threats.
Awareness is the key, exactly. Absolute key. So you're going to come back and we're going to chat about that.
Yeah, happy to.
Another protection as well. I mean, you know, I remember going back in time, you would get viruses and things like that, but it's moved on quite a lot, hasn't it?
Virus is still a big thing. You know, this idea of ransomware has been one of the big things over the last few years, where an attacker will, you know, come along and encrypt the files on your computer and then hold you to ransom and get you to pay a payment to decrypt the files, or you've lost all your data, basically.
Scary stuff. I mean, yes. I went onto your website just about 20 minutes ago and said, do you want to accept the cookie? So everybody knows, if they're going to check out your website, we'll give details in a moment, but if you get something where you say, do you want to accept cookies and things like that, that's not going to harm the computer or anything like that, is it?
No, and that's part of it being, you know, open with people, this idea of transparency. It's got on our website, it uses something called CookieBot. So when you go to a website, you're open about what cookies you're signing up for. And I think when that box pops up at the bottom of the screen, it says, are you happy for marketing or just the basic cookies that are needed to view the site?
Right, okay, that makes sense.
Google yesterday got a big fine, didn't they, over a GDPR breach, which was related, again, you know, this idea of consent and so on, and making sure that people are aware of what they're signing up to and clicking on.
You must have to obviously keep an eye on those kind of things and be up to date yourself. Have you got someone specifically that does that, or are you all aware?
Just within the team, I'd say all of us have an interest in IT, so that often means that we're keeping up to date with what's going on in the news, looking at the forums and so on, and just trying to educate ourselves continually, because it's an ongoing thing. You can never say you've Yeah, and you cannot be a specialist in every single thing. So it's about having wide knowledge within our team. That means that there's various different people who are specialists in various different elements.
You've got the best job in the world, you have. If you really love technology, which I love it, and I say, to be able to do that for 25 years and watch it grow and do all of these things and be first to sort of try these new things out the company, honestly, that's the best job in the world. You're so lucky.
Yeah, no, we are. Yeah, I am very lucky at what we get to do.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment and we're going to chat some more. And we might play some songs as well. And I think Oscar's got another question, but it's not quite as bad as the other one.
Okay.
All right, we'll come back. It's 26 minutes away from 1 o'clock.
Radio with the community at heart. This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. At Scottish and Southern Electricity Networks, we work all year round to prepare for winter and help keep your lights on. But winter can bring all kinds of weather. So we have a free service that might help. Our priority services register is for people who need extra support if there's a power cut. If you or someone you know could benefit, register at ssen.co.uk/priority services. Scottish and Southern Electricity Networks, powering our community.
With 99.1% of customers rating the service provided by PC Consultants as excellent, it's not surprising that we're the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support. Our service is award-winning, and after 25 years in business, our 20-strong team of IT professionals have over 325 years of accumulated experience. Another reason why you should talk to us about supporting your business. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.
The Four Peace Project is proudly supported by Wheeler's Solicitors, helping you achieve your aims in life. We deal with residential and commercial conveyancing, wills, lasting powers of attorney, and probate. For more information, call us on 01983 533 938 or check out wheelers-solicitors.com.
Cats Protection and Ride has been caring for and homing cats on the Isle of Wight since 1961. Every year we help hundreds of island cats find their new forever homes. If you are thinking of adopting a new feline friend, then come along to the Isle of Wight Adoption Centre and we'll be happy to help you. We have cats of all ages, colours and personalities, so we can find a cat for you. Find us in Marlborough Road Ride or check out our website isleofwight.cats.org.uk for more information. We're open Wednesday to Sunday 10 till 4 with late opening on Fridays till 7. Our cats can't wait to come home with you.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, broadcasting from the Riverside Centre in Newport, giving people the opportunity to broadcast no matter their age or ability. We make entertaining radio whilst offering affordable advertising for local businesses. Vectis Radio, vectisradio.com.
We all live in the yellow submarine, the yellow submarine.
It's all very well they're singing about a yellow submarine, but if you're colourblind like me, it's green, okay? But it just wouldn't have sounded right. We all live in a green submarine. Anyway, look, it's 20 to 1 almost. We've got Jonathan in from PC Consultants, and we want to say thank you for sponsoring the mid-morning show and working with you over the coming months. And
yes.
Thanks for all your support on that. It really does mean an awful lot. There's so much we've got to ask you, and there won't be any more questions like the dyscalculia question. Yeah, that's it. That's the one. But you are going to come back and see if there is a keyboard available. There's so many things I want to talk about. You talk about websites, how websites have changed. We were sort of talking to Dale just now about how things have changed with websites. I actually did some kind of course where you learnt websites. And you went in and you learnt the technology, but it would be completely lost now. I only did that about 13 years ago, but it would mean absolutely nothing now because websites have been made a little bit easier to set up. And I noticed you do web management stuff.
Yes.
on your. How easy is that now?
I'd say it's an ongoing. You know, a lot of things nowadays are done with WordPress. It's probably the most common platform as a content management system, a CMS system to allow people to develop and build websites. And you know, a lot of our work is coming along, taking a design from a customer and then putting that into a website, either using WordPress or another engine to power the site. But you know, go back to my early days of sitting around with websites and making websites, a lot of it was coding in direct HTML, and I haven't probably done that for, I don't know, 20 years now.
Yeah.
I haven't a clue to remember how to make a little Hello World page. Or yeah, long gone.
Honestly, it was my, you see all this tech and all these words and letters and things, and you think, you don't even have to bother with that now. It's made so simple now. But obviously, if people were thinking about having a website, Is that the
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Reach out to our team. Sean will be the best person to speak to in our office. He can take the details and be very happy to. Yeah.
So have you got key people in key areas that work on different things?
Let's say it's a cross idea. You know, 20 people is still quite a relatively small team, so we end up a lot of it is helping with various different bits. So we'll always know who to point you to within the team. But yeah, there'll be first points of call to contact if you need to. So even myself, if you want to reach out to Jonathan, let me know, or to Sean if it's a more web related issue.
Okay, what's the thing that you have to sort out most of all?
Somebody's forgotten their password on their computer.
Oh wow, that's a subject and a half, isn't it? How do we? Yeah, but there must be other things that you think, right, okay, you're called in and this is what they want, this is their setup and that's what you need to do.
Without being, yeah, we sometimes say there's this idea of a picnic. So, you know, users are users, you know, sometimes you're using computer all the time, but sometimes we have this phrase picnic because problem in chair, not in computer. Sometimes the issue is the user. It's somebody has accidentally or inadvertently done something that they shouldn't do, you know, either because of lack of training or just not know what to do, and they've accidentally clicked or done something that they should do. And yeah, you know, the classic IT phrase, oh, have you restarted your computer, have you rebooted, is still one of the first things that often happens when you have an issue
is
with
it?
A computer.
Like years ago on a TV, if it went wrong or it was flickering, you'd go up to it and give it a bash, wouldn't you? This is still the turn it off, turn it on again.
Yeah, still reboot a machine, even servers, all sorts of things. Sometimes just a reboot will freshen it up and clear down an issue.
You must have had, in the past, where you've had things that have really baffled you and taken a bit of time to work out.
Yeah, you sometimes get that challenge that comes along, and yeah, you can sit there tearing your hair out, but that's where having the support of others within the team, you know, I'm privileged to have a very good team that we work with, and those engineers there, we really, yeah, we work a problem and look at it until we get a solution.
Do you must look at it from well, hopefully you do, because I know that if anything goes wrong on my computer or I can't do anything, I get so frustrated. But looking at you've got to be in that situation where I'm guessing you're learning all the time, and when you've overcome something that was a real pain, it must be like yes, it's a challenge. You look at it as a challenge, but then do you think, hey, hang on a minute, I've worked that out now, and I can, you know, I can pass that on.
And exactly that, you know, that's why we have the benefit of being able to share that knowledge and expertise with other people, because, you know, what a problem we solve at one site, if we have the same issue occur elsewhere, we know quickly how to solve it at another customer.
Okay, have you got one more question there, Oscar?
Yeah.
What's the question?
What is the best moment at your job?
The best moment at my job?
Best moment, that's a good question, I like that. It's a best moment, there must be something, you know.
I would say when it's Troy time, when Troy, within our team, he's a new member of our team, when he comes along and he makes us all a cup of tea. That's a real nice, we ring the gong and we all get very excited and Troy goes off and sorts it out. So yeah, I'd say Troy time is probably one of the best things.
That's not what I was expecting. There you go, Troy time, he's making a cup of tea. Do you find, I mean, because we made a joke last time with somebody's age, and I don't want to do the same thing, but do you ever get to find that, you know, when you do employ somebody like Troy, I'm guessing he's a lot younger than you.
Yes.
And you're only a young man yourself. I've got to chuck that in. But do you find, because some of these kids have really, really switched on, do you find that, hey, hang on a minute, this kid's intelligent, this kid's just switched on, he's actually more switched on than I am? Because, you know, they've grown up with it.
Yeah, definitely. Even my own two boys, 7 and 10-year-old, they really just pick up technology and they just happily use their iPads, computers, whatever, and I just think, wow, that's amazing how far, and being brought up with technology, it would be a very different world to when I was getting into IT early on.
Okay, I'm just now visualising your youngsters and then thinking, how old are they, you say?
7 and 10.
7 and 10. You think in another 20 years time, when they've got kids same age, you know, what are they going to be holding contraption-wise, you know, technology-wise, because it's going to move on. I mean, it's moved on so much, hasn't it?
You just look at the power of the phone that you've got in your hand, you know, how much power, what you can do with a device that you've got in your hand, really. And you just look at computers years ago, what you would have needed to have done that same thing. And you, even, you know, recreation, playing games on your phone, the graphics that you've got capability on a phone now is still, yeah, amazing compared to what you could do when I was growing up on computers, messing around with DOS and all that sort of thing.
Oh, MS-DOS. Good grief. There's a flashback. Does there come a time when they can't go any further because it's all been done? It's all, you know, there's the... I'm looking at... Apple at the moment, and they are struggling with figures and so on because they haven't managed to do the, you know, the amount of selling and so on. And I just look at that and think, is it because they've reached a ceiling of information, of technology, or is there still a whole lot more to come?
I think there's still a whole lot more to come. It's just, yeah, innovation is difficult, isn't it, to continually... Yeah, we're fortunate in that we're users of IT, so we're not the ones that are being out there having to innovate the products, and you know, we get to use the technology that's off the shelf essentially. But you know, pushing that boundary of what you can do with, you know, internet speeds, for example, you know, going back to that example, how fast internet speeds, you know, higher internet connectivity allows you to do more innovative websites, you know, more interactive websites, because you've got that bandwidth to be able to do things. So
yeah, I mean, I look around. You must do the same at your house. Honestly, I'm still working on our friendship, so we get an invite around your house. But in our house, I tell you, we did a little search. There's a thing you can do, and it searches everything that you've got on the Wi-Fi, everything that's connected to the internet. And there's something like there's around 30 things. So I'm amazed, because I'm thinking, 30 things. Where are they all? If you walk around in your house at night in the dark, you see them all lit up, and they're all connected to your internet. So I'm guessing that they are, would they, if you've only got like 30 or 40 gig, would that, or megabytes, or whatever it is, would that mean that that'd be draining the system and it won't work as good?
Well, not really, because those sort of devices, if you've got, you know, in my house, we've got smart bulbs that are Wi-Fi enabled throughout the property. You know, they're not communicating large amounts of bandwidth off the internet just to turn a light bulb on and off. And other devices that are just sat there in the background are not going to be using much internet bandwidth. But you often find when you get to that sort of level, like 30 devices, your sort of home router will struggle to, just the internal Wi-Fi can struggle on that sort of thing. You know, same in our house, I think we've got about 30 similar devices, from, you know, games consoles to your Amazon Alexa type devices, your smart bulbs, your doorbells that are Wi-Fi enabled. All these things add up, and... yeah, I had to change our router in our house to one which had more capacity with the Wi-Fi access point to allow me to cope with that stably in the house.
All right, so you didn't actually upgrade your actual...
I didn't upgrade the internet connection, because in our house it wasn't the internet connection that was the issue, it was the actual Wi-Fi, the wireless side of our router that was causing the problem.
All right, okay,
I didn't know you could do that. So yeah, we've stuck with the same router, but we've got a much more powerful wireless, like it's a commercial solution that we were able to pick up. But yeah, I use that in the house and it's been rock solid since.
Do you ever, you know, just digressing a little bit, whenever your kids are being naughty, do you ever turn the Wi-Fi off?
It's always been that threat, just in case. Yeah, right. So we normally just take away the iPads if they're really naughty.
Talking of turning it off, should you turn off your Wi-Fi? Just say for instance, somebody said to me, whenever we get an issue here at the station, they say, turn off your computer, turn it on again. Turn off your router, turn it off again, because it gets clogged up. Is that true?
Yeah, I'd say devices, you know, the number of simultaneous sessions that come into a router, for example, if you've got a lot of devices on there that have connected, that can just be, yeah, that's why they say just reboot it, just to clear that table of devices that connected and reset it. Okay. Yeah, a robust solution at work shouldn't need rebooting. You know, the commercial access points, for example, wireless, that are set up correctly, don't need to be regularly rebooted.
Okay.
But, yeah, it just depends on what you've got. A home environment can be very different to what you've got in a business.
And that's something you can advise on, you know, just say, for instance, I mean, we've got the ordinary average router that was given to us by the company that we're with, and we've had it in place now for about, I don't know, 4 years. It's not been changed, it's still the same, it's just been configured, but it's not what I would call a super duper router, and maybe that's what we need.
Yeah, I'd say sometimes it may not be the actual internet connection, but it can be the router and the Wi-Fi. You know, there's a limited amount of channels for Wi-Fi to work on, and increasing, more and more devices, you've got your phones, if you've got smart watches, they can all be Wi-Fi enabled, and it's just lots and lots of devices that are trying to connect to a single single wireless access point.
And that's something you would do if companies out there like ourselves and others too that were thinking, hang on a minute, things are running a little bit slow and things have moved on quite a lot and we haven't really had any advice or anything like that, we could be just sort of shooting ourselves in the foot here. Yeah, you know, we get somebody, we phone you. And
definitely, we enjoy doing it, going in and doing those audits and just sitting down with the customer and looking at what sort of issues do you experience on a day-to-day basis, and how can we use IT, you know, innovation technology has moved on to benefit your business, to make it more stable. If you sometimes go into a company that's something, oh, that's never worked correctly, and you can just fix it simple, and they're really over the moon with an easy fix.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's because things are moving all the time. You need that expert to come in and say, hey, look, if you did it this way, or we need to set this up, or we need to, you know, raise the bar here a little bit, you know, things are going to be a hell of a lot better. Going back to us, we're 9 years old today. Oh, I can't believe how we got this far with the very limited knowledge that we have got. I mean, you know, my business partner is very switched on, but I think he'd be the first to admit that he doesn't know everything, and a lot of it is like, wow, that's mind-blowing. I wouldn't know where to start, wouldn't know where to look. That's where you guys come in.
And I guess these days it's so easy to look on Google and try and answer a problem just by seeing, and you know, that can work sometimes, but occasionally it just pays to have people who are, you know, got knowledge and experience and experts to actually come in and look at it from a professional perspective.
Now, if you're a Microsoft user,
yes,
we talked about this off air, you know, poor old John out there, he's about 108. And he switched his computer off, and the computer says, "Don't switch me off at the mains because I have to upgrade and download some software and so on and so forth." And he thought, "Well, I haven't asked it to, so I'll just turn it off." So he turned it off and messed the whole thing up, and there was a bit of an issue. But it was a learning curve for him because he learned from that. I think it's is it the 13th or the 14th of every month?
Patch Tuesday is normally Microsoft's day when their Windows updates, as they are, get released.
Patch Tuesday.
Yes.
Is there any, just say for instance, if you're on any other software or any other system, do they do something similar?
Yeah, similar. So on Macs, you have your Mac Store that just does similar sort of updates. So be it large updates to the operating system, to OSX, which would be security patches, those sort of things. And on your Windows devices, it would tend to be Windows Update. I think that it's really, you know, the problem nowadays is where both of us have moved to Windows 10, you get your updates, and they're the ones that can take, on an older machine, sometimes an hour or so to install, and you're just sat there with your updates, wait, don't turn off computer. Problem is, if you do get impatient and turn off your computer because you need to use it, sometimes you can cause a real issue with corruption on the machine.
Really, that long?
Yeah, we've seen machines that, especially if you've got a traditional machine with a traditional hard drive, not got a solid state hard drive, just installing Windows patches can, those larger feature updates, the anniversary has an hour or so to install.
Okay. You mentioned passwords just now. Have you got any advice on passwords?
Don't use the same password on multiple sites would be the key thing.
But when you get old like me, you think, oh, I need something I can remember at least.
And then you can sometimes use a theme, something to allow you to tie in. It might be adding something to the password to show which site it's on. But ultimately, the main thing, when passwords get leaked or they go onto a password database, they get breached. If you're using that same password in lots of different places, then that's where you're going to get affected.
Okay, so there are certain things, PCs that you can go on and you can, they'd actually generate a password for you. I mean, it's something, I mean, going back 10, 15 years, you'd have to think of something yourself. But now there is something that saves it on you. Is that safe when you say, right, would you like me to save this?
Well, say on your Apple devices, it goes into your keychain, it goes into iCloud, and you're storing it there. But yeah, you can. It suggests the password, and often I'm finding myself increasingly using that on my phone because it just syncs across all your devices. So the same password, you go to a login to a website on your iPad, you go to log into your iPhone, your Mac, and you know the same long password is going to be generated and typed in automatically. And then there's passwords vaults out there. There's web-based software like LastPass that allows you to store passwords in a vault. Again, the key thing is just not to use the same password. Have secure passwords that are long, not vulnerable to dictionary-based attacks. And keep your passwords separate.
Could you just say, for instance, if you sat at my PC now and it was password protected, how long would it take you for you to crack the code?
I would imagine we would be able to reboot your machine, boot off of a disk that would allow us to reset your password and gain access.
So that's how. So if there's anybody out there listening that is, you know,
and that's why you encrypt your PC. So you use full disk encryption to make sure that somebody can't come along and do that.
Okay. Next time you come in, you've got to tell us about encryption and so on, and go more detail.
Okay.
But I'm guessing that there's nothing that you could. If there was a computer that was locked down, you could get into it eventually.
It depends on. Sometimes if a machine is completely protected, you know, we worked with a client where we had to make sure the machines were fully protected, and in one case they lost the password to the AIM access, they didn't have a recovery key, and basically that was it. It was they couldn't do anything with the laptop. It was worthless at that point.
Okay, a curveball. Okay, we've got a system where we've got all this music in the system.
I thought you said no more curveballs today.
Just a little one. It's just a little one. I reckon you'll be able to go, oh yeah, that's easy. That's not a curveball at all. Just say, for instance, I'm just in the process of sorting out a load more music for the system, okay? And I've noticed that some of the songs I'm pretty much were on the system have either been moved or deleted or taken, okay? And I'm just thinking, is there a way that I can lock down files so that I'm the only one, or so, you know, two of us can access it and it can still happily play tunes from, it's just people can't physically go into that file and nick the songs?
So normally on a Windows network, when you've got a server, you would have permissions, and yeah, you would have different users have different permissions to be able to view a file, and it might be read-only, their access rights to that folder, and that's how you do it. You'd make it so that you might have it so that users log in, and a general user can only view the files, but they can't move them. You know, in our office, we have a document library area where all our templates go, and most people just need to view those templates. They don't need to edit them, so they can't change them, so they're read-only. But again, that's just permissions and working out how to, you know, your logon gives you access to the machine. So if somebody comes along with a different logon, they don't have access. So that comes down to making sure you don't share your password with other people.
Yeah, see, I'm too, you know, yeah, I know, there it is, that's out yourself. But no, I do. I realise now that, you know, giving ourselves a bit of a problem. Hey, look, it's been brilliant to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you.
And you've got to come back, because we've got to talk about all sorts of things, you know, the things that protect your computers and so on and so forth, and so many other things too. But how do we get hold of you?
I'd say our main office, 811-711. Just pick up the phone, give us a call, and one of the team will be happy to help.
Okay, and there's a website as well.
www.pcconsultants.co.uk.
Okay, and then when you click on it, you might get asked to accept cookies. It's not going to harm your computer at all.
It's not going to harm your computer, no.
At all. Just because, you know, people are like, oh, I'm not going in there. I'm not looking at that. It's got, but you'll find that most websites now
should
have got
be doing
those things
similar
on.
Yes.
And it's not going to do any damage to your computer, so no. Don't panic, all right? He's an expert. He knows what he's talking about. Okay, did you have any more questions?
No, that's it.
That was it?
Yeah.
Easy, wasn't it? He just chucked the curveball. He won't get over that. It's taken weeks.
Oh, just quickly, I want to just give a quick shout out to everybody in our office who's listening. Troy, Craig, Dan, the rest of the team there, Mark, they love it. So, yeah.
Okay, lovely. Great guys. Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you for your support. And Troy, he'll be back in about half an hour, so get the kettle on.
Yeah, Troy, I'm on my way.
It's Troy time.
Yep.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Your local station, Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.